Hello and welcome to this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, Dee Brown, CEO. Joining me on the show today is DeMarc Thompson. DeMarc graduated from Coppin State University. Welcome to the program, DeMarc.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Happy to be here.
Oh, man, the pleasure is all mine. Now, we have a lot to talk about with you. You have a very interesting background, but I want to just start with understanding, how did you select Coppin State University as your HBCU?
I wanted to be somewhere closer to home, but not all the way home, if that makes sense.
Right.
But just a good distance away from the family. I guess that was a time where I was like, maybe, you know, this is where I'm going to grow up some more.
Yeah.
And experience life more, but not too far away. And Coppin was actually an up and coming, really good sports school. And I had a track and field scholarship there. And I submitted my application. Well, they actually reached out to me first, and then I submitted everything to them, and I became an Eagle.
So freshman year, what was that like at Coppin State? And of course, you were an athlete as well. So kind of tell us what that freshman year was like there.
Freshman year was so much fun because it's growing up watching School Days and other TV shows centered around college experiences. I couldn't wait.
Yeah.
I almost had a list of things that I wanted to experience.
Right.
Okay, this is going to be so much fun. I want to see if this happens. But I think meeting all of my roommate was from Philly, and meeting people from all over the nation that came to Coppin, it's like, okay, this is going to be good. You know, different experiences, different ideas, different everything. It was absolutely wonderful that freshman year.
So what was it like being an athlete on campus?
Almost superstar status. So the basketball team spoke for itself. They were the top of the line basketball team in the nation, one of the few.
Yeah.
And, you know, being D1 in the MEAC, there were other teams that didn't think about, you know, the MEAC teams being all that competitive. Well, Coppin was very competitive, even to where they beat South Carolina the first round in the tournament and almost beat Texas in the second round. So that's where it was really put on the map. But running track and field and competing against other big D1 schools and then us performing really well against them, you know, we would get the look like, well, who is this small team?
Right.
We weren't small at all, but we made a really big statement, and it got on campus, and everyone was like, you all are our heroes. It's like, well, thank you. We appreciate that.
So what are some of the events that happen on campus that are very memorable or that are signature type events?
I would always say our homecoming, because it's different, because Coppin didn't have and I believe they still don't have a football team currently. So our homecoming was later in the year. But they were really big concerts. I mean, we would have the likes of MC Light and others to come in and perform. It was an entire week of just festivities and food and fun and family. And it's the whole environment just felt really unique, very genuine.
So what was your experience like with faculty and staff and, you know, really having individuals who took an interest in your academic success?
That was great because they dug down into your own personality to pull stuff out of you that you probably tried to hide as an individual, but they wanted you to express yourself fully. They wanted you to immerse yourself fully and not this whole persona of, okay, I'm just coming to class to learn and then to move on. They wanted to develop you as a person. They wanted to see you strive for the best when you left there, even when you left the class. So it was wonderful to work with a lot of professors who actually cared and then pushed you to do better.
What about preparing you for your professional career? How do you feel that Coppin State played a role to make you into the person that you are today?
It played a very big role. And honestly, my profession was all over the place because I was an English media arts graduate, and I thought I was going to use that to go into the likes of television production, maybe somewhere in that arena. Well, my first job out of college, I worked at Porto Novelli, which was a big PR firm. And somehow or another, while working there, I fell into IT. And IT just snowballed. The only IT experience I had at Coppin were two of my friends who were majoring in IT. So it was just speaking with them and then listening to their horror stories about what they had to learn. It's like, oh, I'm glad I'm not you all. But that whole experience of going into PR and then to IT, but then knowing how to actually communicate and write certain things. So they had technical writing and all. Knowing how to communicate to others in that time was maybe priceless.
Yep. Now, you were a track and field star as well. And so obviously as an athlete, you have to balance practice and workouts against classroom and homework and those sorts of things. So talk to me a little bit about the challenge of being an athlete and doing the things that it takes to be at the top of your game as an athlete. And then also talk about what were your biggest achievements as an athlete while in college.
I would say some of the bigger challenges were getting all the work done before practice and even after practice. So we had 6 a.m. practice, and that was only for about 45 minutes. But then we had the afternoon practice, which was a few hours. So in between that time, you have your class, you have practice, then class, and then you have lunch, then class, then practice, and sometimes evening classes,
right?
Then your homework, and then back to square one.
Yeah.
So it prepared me because I pushed so hard on the track and in the weight room and mentally working with myself to get better that the classroom felt like it followed my work ethic. So my physical work ethic.
Yeah.
So as I was doing all the physical work, it's like, well, okay, the classroom work seems to be getting easier because there was a balance of the two.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how it all worked out, but it's when you ground yourself in something, and I even say to this very day to a few friends in the gym, what I do here in the gym equates to everything I do outside of the gym. So what I did in track practice and in the weight room worked the same way in the classroom.
Yeah. So talk to me about your professional journey. You've had quite an amazing career thus far. So talk to me after leaving college, kind of where did you go professionally?
So when I graduated Coppin, I went to Porto Novelli for a little while and then snowballed into IT. And I started working, once that really, the ball started rolling there, started working at NIH on the help desk. And I was there for a few years and then went from NIH to the Department of Transportation. And that was, I transitioned into network security. And that's when all the roots started to settle. So network security into cybersecurity, into incident response, into the compliance side of security and networking and all. It was a very quick build because once I got grounded in all of that and I got security clearances as well, other departments started to reach out. It's like, hey, we see you have this experience. Would you mind coming over this way? So I went from the Department of Transportation to DHS, to DOE, to Aerospace, to Millennium Space Systems, to working Intel and counter Intel. So it's been a journey.
Yeah. Now, but you've also ventured out into acting as well. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So and the interesting part is I wasn't even looking for it at the time. It just kind of fell into my lap. And you probably hear that a lot from actors or even people in general.
Yeah.
But I was working at my desk. A friend of mine who lived in New York was a model doing really well. And she would get casting calls, just a bunch of things. And she just happened to read one. And she said, well, I think Mark's a fit for that. So she sent it to me. She was like, hey, maybe you should send a picture and maybe a few lines that you'd like to audition for the role. It's like, okay, so I read it. It's like, yeah, they're looking for tall, athletic guys. Why not? I'll give it a try. Right. So I already had a headshot from doing some modeling in D.C. And I sent them that headshot. And it's like, hey, I'm a tall, athletic guy, 6'3", 200 some odd pounds. Would like to audition if I can. And they replied a day later. And it's like, hey, we like your look. You look great and everything. And we'd like you to come to Philly for an audition. It's like, well, okay. So, mind you, I never auditioned for anything ever outside of maybe, you know, running track in high school. But I told my coworkers, like, hey, you know, I think I just got an audition. I'm going to Philly in a couple of days to do it. I'm like, great. Yeah, have a great time. So I drove to Philly, did the audition, came back. And a day and a half later, I got a note stating that I booked the role. Outstanding, super excited, but I had no clue what the role was. I had no clue of what I've been doing outside of being a futuristic soldier or futuristic Marine.
Yeah.
And got to the set a week and a half later, was completely blown away by all the trucks and the lights and cameras. And I saw this one trailer that was outfitted as a gym. And so it's like this whole trailer was a gym. And of course, the way I work out, I'm already attracted to that.
Yeah.
As I was looking at it, this guy walks across me. He's like, morning, dude. And I was like, good morning. Will Smith? He's like, yeah, you one of my Rangers? And it's like, I guess I am. Like, cool, walk over here with me. So he walked me halfway over to where they were taking all the people who auditioned and became Rangers for the film. And that's when I found out that it was the movie After Earth, starring Will and Jaden Smith, Zoe Kravitz, and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. Being on the set that week, I was convinced that's what I want to do. Convinced. So I just had to find a way to really get that going. But
yeah,
there was no turning back from there.
So take us on a little journey of your acting career. What are some of the roles you've been involved in? And then also, what do you have on the horizon?
So let's see. I've had a lot of co-star roles. So actually, before I left the D.C. area, I had a recurring role on the show Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, because they were filming Veep and House of Cards in Baltimore. So I was on both of those, but I had a recurring on Veep as one of her. I was the military guy, the Air Force major who walked around with the nuclear codes.
Yeah.
So I was walking around with her everywhere. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this is great. This is wonderful. So once I moved from this area and landed in L.A., you know, the first thing I did was enroll in an acting class, because I figured that would be the best way to meet people and maybe even get some referrals and all. And it actually happened. So my first co-star role was here in L.A., was NCIS L.A. with LL Cool J and, you know, everyone else on the show. And that was so much fun. That was an experience. And it went from there to Jean-Claude Van Johnson, where I had a recurring role playing the opposite Felicia Rashad. CSI Vegas. And right now I have a national commercial out with Subaru. And it actually stars, my son in the commercial is Kevon Woodard. He's the youngest Emmy-nominated actor ever. So that commercial is still running, and it is getting so much attention right now. I can't begin to tell you the feedback that I've gotten from it, and it's all been wonderful. And to be honest, and actually, we're actually getting an award for it next month.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I got a call 2 weeks ago. It's like, hey, we're just going to let you know that you all are getting an award for your Subaru commercial, getting a Trailblazer Award in New York. So it's, just the excitement that I'm trying to contain right now.
Right.
It's just amazing how God works and how everything is around.
Working alongside of, you know, acting superstars like Will Smith and LL Cool J, how did that impact your career? Talk about some of the things you learned from them and what it was like working with them, some of the stars.
It was because I didn't feel starstruck, because I just wanted to learn. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch them and see what they do. and see how they interact and see if they mess up on lines and all, you know, just normal human things. And they did, you know, it's like, okay, it's a human and normal thing to be on set. And it's like, crap, I forgot my line or, you know, whatever your place. And that's where I learned, okay, you can make mistakes on the set without people getting mad.
Right.
Working next to Felicia Rashad, it, when she showed up, I already knew that I had to bring my level to wherever her level was. Because that type of greatness, it almost draws it out of you without even asking. So I didn't even know I was going to work with Felicia Rashad at that time. I just happened to go on set. They told me everything that was happening. And they said, I'm playing opposite of Jane. And the director, Peter, said, oh, and by the way, here's Jane right now. And it's Felicia Rashad walking down the hill. And it's like, no one told me this. Well, everything clicked in me. It's like, whatever I do today, it's got to be times 100. Because that's what she's going to bring naturally. So it's working along all of them has been a blessing to me.
So what has been your most, I guess, memorable role that you've played?
My most memorable role was being a peacekeeper in the last two Hunger Games, Mockingjay 1 and 2. That experience was like no other because it was just all out chaos on the set. Things blowing up and guns firing and we're dying in one area and we're jumping up after they say cut to go to another area to fight and die again. I mean, it was the biggest production set that I've been on. I would say maybe 12 to 14 hour days, but the level of intensity, the commitment that we had to have to be out there for that time period, wearing these suits under some hot sun. Actually, the first week was freezing in Atlanta. And then after the weekend, it was roasting. So I don't know who flipped the switch. Going through those two extremes.
Yeah.
And just being so committed and having so much fun, you know, working with Jennifer Lawrence and Liam Hemsworth and just the entire cast. It was wonderful. I'll never forget it ever.
So talk to me a little bit about this fan movement that's going on with you right now. I know there's a movement online and social media to cast you in a particular role. So talk to me about this movement and really how that has impacted you.
So in 2015, I remember the exact date, September 2nd, 2015, I tossed my name in the hat. I put it on social media. It started on Facebook. It's like, hey, I want to toss my name in the hat and campaign for the role of the Green Lantern, and AKA John Stewart. I wasn't expecting the amount of responses the next morning, but when I woke up, it had been shared over 4,000 times and had thousands of comments under it.
Yeah.
Now I have all these notes and messages and everything else coming in between. A lot of it was good, but there were others like, well, who is this guy? So, you know, it was my introduction.
Yeah.
But the movement became so big that once I started using Instagram to promote it as well, people started making me in the image of John Stewart and sending it to me and sending notes like, you have all of our support. You have the look, you have the voice, you have all these other things. And one of the bigger things is that they said they wanted to see someone new. So, I said, you know, that kind of makes sense because there are actors who are cast in everything.
Right.
And if there is someone who has the potential to play that role really well, looks and all, I'm speaking from experience. They're going to support you.
Yeah.
They're going to support you left and right. And I've gotten directors who sent me notes and said, hey, we like for you to come and work with us or audition for a role. I've had interviews, phone interviews, TV interviews. I've had radio interviews just from that campaign alone. So it's been a blessing.
Yeah.
It's just something, if you don't fear what you want to do, like if there's nothing holding you back from doing it and you put it out there for others to see, anything can happen from there. That's the biggest lesson that I've learned from it.
Right. So, you know, obviously, through your academic career and professional career, there are always, you know, individuals that have been there and supported you. But in particular, I want to just ask you about your mom and the role that she has played in your life and where you are today.
Yeah, my mom, my mom was no nonsense. And I learned this from my uncles and aunts. It's like, your mother did not play. she wasn't the oldest. She was the second oldest.
Yeah.
But you don't mess with family. And they talked about that when she was young and even to when I experienced it. It's like, oh, yeah, you don't mess with mom.
Yeah.
But she's always been there for me. And any decision, she would say, did you pray about it first? It's like, no, and I didn't at the time. But now I know what she means when she asked that question. But she always had my back. She made sure, of course, that I was taken care of. And she always pushed me to do better. But she did it in her own subtle way. And she had a series of brain tumors. And the first one came out easily, but that next one was terminal. Mm. And I remember when I started acting and, you know, after booking the role with Veep and actually a regional commercial with Pepco, when the brain tumor appeared again and they gave her the diagnosis, it didn't take long at all for this to excel. It took her vision, her speech and her mobility in 2 weeks. So we had one really long last talk where she said, I need you to promise me that you're going to pursue your dream, which is acting, because we see that you love it. We know you love it. Why not go after that? Because as you can see, life is short. And I'm sitting there looking at my mom, tell me this. It's like, mom, you're speaking to me like you're about to die. I wasn't ready to, you know, just accept that.
Yeah.
But I made the promise. And it's like, okay, you know what? Yep, I promise. But in my head, I was like, she's going to make it. And 2 weeks later, you know, she was gone. Turned my world upside down, but really grounded me to keep that promise that I've made to her. So in the meantime, you know, after the funeral and, you know, after it kind of settled and I was able to actually breathe and just think about everything that just happened, that's when I stated that I have to honor this promise.
Yeah.
You know, she's right. You only have one shot at life. Why not do what you love? And that was 2013. So by 2014, I had already made the decision. It was between New York and L.A., and I had been living in the East Coast. I've been in L.A. more times than I've been in New York. So I already knew then. It's like, okay, you're going to L.A. And January 2nd, 2015, I moved to L.A. And I said, okay, mom, promise kept, and here we go.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing story. I want to circle back before we wrap the show up and just have you to share with our viewers why you feel that Coppin State would be a great selection for a college senior, I mean, a high school senior that's looking to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coppin has developed so much since I've graduated. It's so, first and foremost, it's almost like a brand new campus. They have built so much and they have so much land now. The programs have excelled. They have more courses. They have a lot of money pouring into Coppin. It's becoming almost like a mecca for the Baltimore area because they're doing so much in the community. It's a D1 school. So if you're in sports, you're going to compete against some very competitive people. You know, it's Olympic type quality people. So you're not going to be in an area where it's like, okay, you know, it just feels like I'm at recess. No, you're going to compete hard. And the same way in the business world, there are a lot of really good business courses there and people who have gone on to do some wonderful things in the field. It's even my friend Karen right now. She's one of the top doctors in Canada right now. And she's a graduate of Coppin. But if you're looking for an experience at an HBCU that is genuine, grounded, and just makes you feel like family, Coppin State University is one of the best, if not the best, to attend. Without question.
DeMarc, I want to thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to be on this episode of HBCU. But before you leave, I want to also present you with our HBCU Rising Star Award. We know you have a lot of great things on the horizon and in your future, and this is for your continued support of historically black colleges and universities. And to my viewers, I want to thank you for watching this episode of HBCU. I'm your host, D. Brown, CEO, and remember, without you, there's no me.